Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Missing Frames. This is the podcast where we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. We're hanging out on the Nerd Party Network, a collection of podcasts dedicated to all things entertainment. Check it out at thenerdparty.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @joinnerdparty and follow the Instagram. It's just the Nerd Party. We're also on Facebook. Like that page too. And I'm delighted beyond all reason. This is the second episode in a row you've been on.
I know.
I mean, there was a break between the two. There was a between takes episode, but technically we've done two Missing Frames episodes in a row. My wife, Sarah, is here. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thanks.
How does it feel? I mean, I don't think this has ever happened in the history of Missing Frames.
Probably will never happen again.
Probably will never happen again, but that's okay. Let's enjoy it. Let's bask in the moment. And this is, speaking of things that will never happen again, this is a little bit off the beaten track for us. This is not your typical Missing Frames episode. Like I said, we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. And if you've already seen the title for this episode, you know that this is not a film. We are going to be discussing the Star Trek, The Next Generation finale, All Good Things. And we're cheating a little bit because you know what? Star Trek's wonderful.
I think it's okay to cheat here.
Yeah, if I'm going to cheat on anything, or I'm going to cheat with anything, if I'm going to cheat on the podcast with anything, it'll be Star Trek.
TNG.
Yeah. We realized we've been speeding through The Next Generation and we were trying to figure out what to do for our next episode of Missing Frames, and we're on the finale now.
And technically it's like a two-part format.
You can count this as a movie. I'll be honest, I think this is probably a better movie than The Next Generation movies. No offense to those, but I don't think, with the exception of maybe First Contact, and I like Generations, Insurrection and Nemesis I haven't seen too recently. I remember not liking either of them, but I think as far as like, it's almost a shame that they kept making stories, because this episode so kind of perfectly serves as a send off for them. And Nemesis, which was the cinematic send off for them, is depressing to say the least. But I don't know. We don't have to make excuses to you. We're doing it. It's a television finale, one of the greatest television shows of all time. I love Next Generation, and I think you do as well.
I do.
And we are, I guess you want to talk a little bit about how we got into Star Trek. I've explained this before. There's another Star Trek episode. We did one for the motion picture. I did it with T.C. Padgett and Leah Hale, and we had such a great time talking about that. Leah's a huge Star Trek fan, and I think I told this story on there. But growing up, I mean, Next Generation was my Star Trek. I didn't know about Captain Kirk. The irony is that when Next Generation came out, everyone was like, how could they do something without Captain Kirk? But for me, I was more shocked to learn there was a Star Trek before Picard and Data and Worf. And I grew up with this on television. You know, it started in 1987. I was born in 1986. So to me, this was the only Star Trek. And this was back when Star Trek was still must-see television, because it hadn't become the big franchise that it is now. And the only other series had been the original series. The movies were relatively popular. But like, my mom and my dad watched Next Generation. They don't really watch sci-fi programming, but this was like must-see TV. And I just remember it being in the background all the time. Like, it was a part of my life. I had action figures growing up that I got for Christmas, and watching Next Generation. And when I got older, I always appreciated and loved Star Trek, but I've never been a big TV person. As you know, you are a big TV person.
Yeah.
You've introduced me to a lot of great television, but you've had to deal with my biases against TV, because my whole thing is like, I can't dedicate hours and hours of my life to a show that I know is eventually like,
you just want to go to the movie.
I want to go to a movie because a movie, it's like a clean cut story. You get what you need, and you don't have to watch hours and hours
and
hours.
Love character development over years and years and years.
Yeah. But I think my biggest problem is certain television shows that go on for too long.
Yeah.
Once they outstay their welcome, I kind of lose interest. Like when a story reaches a natural organic arc, like or the story arc reaches its conclusion, a natural conclusion, I'm kind of like, okay, great, I'm done. And then it keeps going and I'm kind of like, oh God. And then I just get depressed and it just feels like.
And unfortunately, that's like 70% of TV.
That's right, a lot of television.
Because
so,
it's money, right? So they're just, yeah, they just keep going if people watch.
So I have always been movies versus TV. And I love television. There's television I love. I think television is some of the best stories out there. And I would definitely go to bat for some of my favorite series. But that's always been the case. So when it came to Star Trek, I never really watched any of the shows. Like growing up, once I got older, I was like, I love the movies. Some of the movies, not all of the movies, but I love the movies. And I don't really care about the TV show because I'm just not a TV guy. So I grew up with the perception of Star Trek kind of like, I had lots of friends around me who really loved the show. But I was kind of like, yeah, okay, sure. And this is a strange stance to take on it, seeing as how I am a huge nerd. I am a podcast on the Nerd Party, so I would have to be. But like, I was just kind of like, Star Trek just seems kind of nerdy. It seems really like they just sit in boardrooms and talk a lot and they have weird costumes and some of the makeup is ridiculous.
I mean, none of that is wrong.
None of this is wrong. No. But it was definitely like I had this perception of like,
yeah,
because it was television and the movies at least had big action and excitement and like big stakes and the world's coming to an end or there's a big villain who's going to kill everybody, like things like that. I always assumed like the TV show is just a little bit more like talky and boring and slow. And it's definitely more talky than the movies. So I just never got into it. And I kind of like when the J.J. Abrams movie was coming out, I kind of watched the original series a little bit just for fun. And I think the original series is great. But I definitely think it's you have to take it with a grain of salt because some of it is very, very dated. And so I think, I don't remember when, but there was like a sale where all the TNG seasons on Blu-ray went on sale. And as we've discussed many times on this program, I'm an insane person. And when I see a good Blu-ray sale, I lose all like,
yeah,
reason, rhyme or reason. I'm like, this seems like I should probably buy these, even
Sean,
though.
But do you really like the show? And you're like, yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's Star.
Sarah,
well, you know, I think
it.
I like Star Trek, but I'd heard enough from people that it was like, no, Star Trek's amazing. You're gonna like it. You'll, yeah, love it when you watch it. So I knew I was making a good investment, and it wasn't on Netflix in HD at the
right
time.
This was the only one. And I remember it was priced. It was just insanely priced, but you found like maybe on eBay or just,
yeah,
like a really good deal.
Like this, I remember when they first started coming out, like season one,
season,
it was like 70, 80
yeah,
bucks. And this set on eBay that I got was like $80
for all
of
them,
brand new.
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, that's a no brainer. If one set is like $50, $60, I have to get all of them.
Right.
And so that was really like, finally, I think I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch through. And the consensus I'd heard was like, you have to kind of push through seasons one and two. And once you get past those, it'll be great. And I think this is where that was basically, I watched through the whole series. I agree that seasons one and two are rough, but it becomes like one of the greatest shows of all time by season three. But that's what I finished it right when we moved down to Atlanta. And then almost as soon as I'd finished it, you decided you wanted
I'm like,
to
again.
Start it. So
yeah,
that was, do you remember when we first started watching it? I think it was 2018.
Well, initially I would catch just, we were living in Virginia in our first apartment. This was a long time ago, right? And you would watch it, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of whatever. But then you sat me down for a couple episodes.
Yes.
And I had a very emotional reaction.
That's right. So by yeah, the time I'd hit
season three, yeah,
I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like,
yeah.
I it was such a struggle to get through seasons one and two. And there are great episodes. Like, I think my favorite Star Trek episode ever is Measure of a Man, which
mm-hmm.
is in season two.
Yeah.
But, and that is the first indication, I think, of what
the greatness.
Next generation would achieve. But that said, it's a slog to get through those first two seasons.
Right.
They are bad. It's yeah, like, we joke about it, but like great Star Trek is like the best thing you'll ever see. And bad Star Trek is like some of the worst stuff you'll
yeah,
ever watch. It's just so corny and stupid.
Yeah.
But I'd gotten to season three. I knew it was great. And I was now like excited. I was like, oh, great. Yeah. I can't wait to see what episodes are next. And it was yesterday's Enterprise, which I'd never seen before. And I remember telling you, I was like, I hear this episode is one of the best. So you should watch it.
I was like, okay. With me.
Not realizing what I was doing about to expose you to. And yesterday's Enterprise is just a masterpiece. It's one of the best episodes of Star Trek.
And
it's
what happened when we watched this episode?
You like loved it, but you also like sobbed for
the whole thing.
Yeah, almost the whole thing.
And I think by an
the
hour
end,
after,
you were sobbing.
It like just broke something in me completely.
Oh yeah, I think it was the you didn't even know
so
who
emotional.
Tasha Yar was. I was
so invested in her and her story, and I just thought it was one of the most beautiful hours of television I had ever seen. Just never seeing anything else except like little bits. Like I knew who Picard was, like, you know, the pop culture stuff, but it just like, it ruined me. And I was just like holding on to you sobbing and you're like, oh God, what did I do? And I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It just like, I can't remember the lot. I'm tearing up right now. I'm such a mess. Yeah. Like it just struck me and I was this is the best show that's ever like been televised. Yeah. It has to be. And you're first two seasons are rough.
I knew it was great, but I didn't realize like that episode would be so amazing.
So good.
I thought it would be one of those things where you would be like, oh, that was good. Thanks for showing me. But it was like,
And I think I got mad at you. I was like, why did you do this to me?
I was like, I wasn't prepared.
I couldn't control myself. And then you showed me another episode.
We watched a couple episodes. So the episode after that, I think, is about Data's daughter.
Data. Yeah.
Like he builds a daughter, and that episode was great and sad.
I cried for six hours.
After that was was Worf being excommunicated from the Klingon Empire.
Like these power
and that was all three episodes are amazing. And I just remember being like so struck, like, oh my God.
I'm just
a streak
weeping
of them
for 6 hours.
But that was in, I think 2015, 2014.
So that was my very first introduction.
Yeah.
Because my parents never watched it. I didn't know much about it other than, if anything, I was more familiar with the original series.
Yeah. Because Blu-ray.
Like,
and then,
I had seen more of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like, oh, it's cute and goofy and campy, you know?
Yeah.
And I still kind of stand by that, but I appreciate it a lot more going back to that.
Yeah.
And now seeing TNG. But yeah, you were my first introduction to TNG. I mean,
I think it's such it's a stunning show.
Yeah.
What I tell everybody is what I would tell myself back when I wasn't watching. It's like, you have to get through the first two seasons.
Just trek
through. Like once you do, you won't regret it. It's one of the greatest television shows of all time.
It's so rewarding. It gives
back
in such a big way.
Yeah, but it's beyond, it's beyond just like what you expect from like quality sci-fi entertainment. It's like thoughtful and emotional and
it's very cerebral.
It's philosophical, but really, really beautiful. And this really wonderful examination of like people trying to work together for the better good.
Yeah.
And I think as I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate Star Trek more. You know, it's always, oh, do you like Star Wars or Star Trek? And I'm like, can't we just love them all? Aren't they all wonderful? But I think as I've gotten older, when you're young, Star Wars is like, oh, it's whiz bang, everything, lightsabers, explosions. And Star Trek is like, oh yeah, they sit in boardrooms and talk. But there's something now being older that like the concept of like Star Trek being, instead of murdering people or instead of combat, I'm going to try to reason and understand my enemy. Like the idea of communicating and trying to understand other cultures and civilizations,
especially in 2021.
Yeah, yeah. Especially now, it's
if you want a safe place to go, watch the show.
Yes,
because the world's crazy, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
and it's optimistic to like hope for a future like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you remember when you started? Because we had to power through those first.
So we
couple
were in
seasons.
Atlanta.
We were in Atlanta, and it was 2017 or 2018 when we started season one, and we watched a few episodes and then it was like, all right, we're good.
Yeah I don't think we made it very far.
No.
I think we quickly were like, want to watch Friday Night Lights again? Okay.
Yeah,
like, you
know,
we just
kind
of went to an Old Faithful.
Yeah
I think we probably made it like optimistic halfway through season one. Yes. I don't even know if we made it that far though.
And I don't, yeah, I don't,
I was just, I remember being kind of bored. I was like, I know this is special. I'd seen episodes obviously in the future, which I'm like, these are great episodes. These are great people. But the first season especially was just so dry, and you could tell they were just, they were trying to find their footing. They didn't find it.
Yes.
Like they just, they were struggling.
They were also, their hands were tied by Gene Roddenberry.
Yes.
Because Roddenberry was like, yeah, you have to do these things. Yes. There can't be any conflict because it's a future where there is no conflict.
Right.
So the rules that he created for them and the constraints he placed on them really limited their ability to tell good, compelling stories.
Yeah.
And it is,
it's evident,
not great.
Yeah.
The cast is great.
Yep.
Patrick Stewart is like just head and
shoulders.
No offense
like
to anybody else, but he is like every... The material is not on his level in those first couple seasons, but he brings it every episode. And I'm hard pressed to think of a memorable episode in season
I'd
one.
I have to look at the
description. Maybe when Tasha Yar dies, they're just terrible. Yeah. I remember that one.
Is that with the funeral?
Yeah, the pilot's pretty good. I don't remember many other episodes in season one. I remember there's the naked. What was it? The naked now when they're all trying to bang each other. And then there's
one
blocked
that one out.
There's one like awkward episode where it's like it's all black people and it's very, very unintentionally racist.
Ooh.
And
I don't remember that.
Very like awkward, like just weird, tone deaf, not smart, bad. Like,
yeah,
I feel bad saying it, but like the writing is just very, you can tell they are struggling to find the stories and to get the chemistry, like what the, because Kirk and Spock and McCoy and that crew was so iconic, and they were still making movies at the time with that crew.
Yeah.
And that's what people knew. So you can get the sense of like, they felt like, what is this new crew? What is their dynamic? How can we differentiate
Where's
them?
Their place in
they
the universe?
Don't, they didn't the, yeah. know. And season two was an improvement at least.
Yeah.
And then, what were you going to say?
Well, when does Ronald D. Moore come in?
I don't think until season three.
Okay. So that's the noticeable shift. And I'm a huge fan of his. So I was really excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is where he started. I didn't know.
Season two is not, it's still not great. It's still that awkward.
But it's
like,
getting there.
It's getting there. And then more importantly, you have a couple of breakthrough episodes. Like Measure of a Man, I think is incredible. Like it is, that's the one where Data, they're trying to determine whether or not Data is a person and Riker has to, he's the prosecutor.
Yeah, he's not, yeah.
And Picard is the, his defender.
So good.
And it is, I remember that watching, like just feeling like that was an oasis in a desert. Like it was just like going through that series for the first time and just desperately like, please just give me something. And seeing that episode and being like, oh my God, like. If that's what I have to look forward to, then this is, I believe it now. Like, I believe this show is capable of greatness.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that episode with you because I knew that was coming and I was just like, we're almost there. But do you remember watching Measure of a Man for the first time?
Oh, yeah. And it was great.
It's great.
It's
that
really
one,
good.
That one has a great ending too.
Yeah.
And that has the introduction of the Borg. But once they get to season three, the sad thing is Roddenberry had started to get sick, so he couldn't be as much of an overseer. So I think it was Michael Piller, he gave the reins to him to be the showrunner. And Michael Piller really kind of, he brought in this amazing group of young writers, including Ronald D. Moore, who would go on to do Battlestar Galactica and Outlander and all sorts of amazing
television. Lots of my
television.
Favorite shows.
Yeah, and that was, Star Trek Next Generation was his first thing. But they brought in a new group of writers. And season three, pretty much from the get-go, is a marked improvement over season two.
It felt like a soft reboot.
Yeah.
Of the show.
And it's like, it takes its time to find its footing the first couple episodes, but there's an immediate charm to it that's not in seasons one and two. There's like a clarity of vision. There's compelling content, like character development and things that are like, oh, this is more engaging. And I think from that point on, it's pretty smooth sailing. I mean, there are definitely rough episodes in later seasons, but I'd say from season three through season seven, it's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's consistent. And then what would happen is we'd hit some duds, and instead of being annoyed, we'd kind of just giggle through them.
It was the opposite. It's like the duds, like the great episodes were the exception.
Yes.
And not the rule. And then by season three, it switches.
And where it's like much more bearable.
The bad episodes were the exception, which made it.
Because then we could just laugh and be like, what is going, what happened? What were they smoking?
It's like
when
a nice little reminder of like, oh yeah, this is what the TV show was like when it was really, really bad. But can you remember some of your favorite episodes?
Yesterday's Enterprise is amazing. Measure of a Man, amazing. I have some episodes. You'll have to help me out with the titles.
Okay. I'm probably not going to remember the titles.
Well, there's a recent one in the last few seasons where Picard lives a whole other lifetime.
Yeah. Inner Light.
That was
Inner Light. I think many, many people think that's the best.
I was so moved by that. And I thought that was really beautiful. There's another one more recent, I think, where Picard falls in love.
And yeah, and it's kind of a sequel to that.
Yeah, he has to send her on a mission, and I don't know what it's called. I'm not doing a very good job.
I don't remember that one's called either.
But that's anytime in season six. Where Picard falls in love. what else?
Best of Both Worlds, which is the first big Borg episode. It's the two-parter
that
ends
with
Picard becoming a Borg.
Yeah, and I was never spoiled by that, so I was like, holy crap. Yeah,
that's such a great end. Mr.
And
Worf,
then it ends.
Fire, and that's the end. It was great.
Whenever I watch stuff and we're binging it, I just think, oh my gosh, these poor people had to stop there, and then they didn't get the second part for like 6 months. That's terrible. And watching a finale like that is just insane. And some of the more fun episodes I liked when they would, like the Sherlock episodes, I always think are very fun.
That's a good one in season two as well. And I love that they bring that character Moriarty back.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm struggling to think of them too, because one of the brilliant things that Next Generation did that I know in Deep Space Nine, which I'm watching through now, the story becomes serialized instead of episodic. And Next Generation is episodic, which meant pretty much every episode stood alone. So you got just amazing concepts. Once the writing crew really hit their stride, you get these amazing episodes, amazing concepts. Some of my favorites, one of the ones I remember as a kid loving, and I still love it to this day, is in season four. It's called Remember Me, I think, or I think that's the title. It's when Crusher, like everyone's disappearing around her, and she realizes she's gotten stuck inside like some sort of wormhole, and she has to escape. I love that episode.
That's a really good one. Anything with Q is usually
Q's
really fun.
Usually great. Anything with the Borg is great. Yeah. Remember Hugh?
Oh my god. Okay, yeah. I gotta put that in with my favorite episodes.
Iborg is the name of that one.
And anytime I get like a really good Geordi episode, he's one of my favorites.
Geordi's great.
So
remember there's also an episode where he like falls in love with a woman and it like completely ruins his common sense. Yeah. And it's
like Geordi used to
Geordi
in there.
Yeah, Geordi is
but he's one of my favorites.
He's the best. The best.
It's hard to pick favorites.
It's hard, like, and I think the standout episodes for me are the ones that deal with that emotional philosophical struggle.
Yeah.
Like I know Wesley Crusher gets a bad rep.
Yeah.
Especially in early seasons, I understand. I love Will Wheaton. Stand By Me is one of my favorite movies.
Well, he wasn't given a ton to do.
He wasn't given a ton to do. And then there was just the awkwardness of him deciding to leave, which I know he really regretted. But when he came back, there are a couple, like I love the episode where they're all playing the game, that creepy game, and he and Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd, that's right. Like she's so young.
Yeah, she's young. And they're the only ones who are not playing it.
When he came back, I think we've only seen one episode where we're like, that wasn't that great. But all his episodes, I think, were really strong.
And then the first Duty, I think it was called, is the one where he goes on trial.
Yes, and that was a really great episode.
That's definitely one of my favorites, which I don't know if a lot of people call that one of their favorites, which I think is, I don't know if it's just because Wesley is fun to
it was a bit of a mystery, which I kind of, because you don't really know what happens or what had happened out during that whatever training that they were doing when the cadet died. So you don't really.
And you would never, because by that point, Wesley is pretty much he's a good kid. So you never expect him to do something that.
Or cover up something.
Yeah. To be that awful or like to be terrible. I'm looking through the list now because the point is there's so many amazing episodes. And by the time we really, last year when the pandemic started, I think I was just like, let's just go.
We're home. Rededicate
that
ourselves.
That was when we powered through it. And that's when we really like, we got through season two. We got through, we just went straight through.
And we still had a little gap. I think, of a couple months, but then we picked it up again. And then since then,
yeah,
we've just gone through the whole thing. Yeah, a few months
ago, I would say probably March, maybe March, April. I don't know what it was, but it was just let's get back to it and let's keep going. And we powered through seasons 5, 6, and 7 in the past couple months.
We built a house, and as soon as we moved into the house, we're like, what should we watch? And then I guess it was TNG, and then we haven't stopped.
Right.
That's been kind of our nightly show where we watch an episode or two a night.
Yeah.
Great way to wind down. It really is.
And I've loved rewatching it, rediscovering what is so brilliant about it. And like I said, I love the big exciting episodes, but things like the episode where Picard sees his brother for the first time in years and has that kind of emotional break. Like, there's so much. The thing people I don't think realize, and I didn't realize about Star Trek, is how beautifully human it is. Like, I always thought of it as like, oh, they're kind of cold and they're all businesslike, which to a certain extent, they're all very, you know, they're working in space. They're professional. But there's like this strong emotional core to it that if I'm going to play the Star Wars versus Star Trek game, Star Trek is more thoughtful and emotionally complex than Star Wars for sure.
Yes.
Like, Star Wars is great and it's big and it's exciting and it's got broad emotions, but Star Trek is the thing that's going to, you're going to sit down and you're going to like ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to love someone? Like, it's like these very big questions that like, I think if you've never watched Star Trek and you're hearing this, you're kind of like, that sounds really goofy, but it does it in a very meaningful way that to me evokes great literature or just great cinema. And Star Trek, because of its reputation, is like, oh, it's the big franchise. It's nerdy and it's people, aliens. And like, you kind of, and some of the episodes do justify that reaction, but most of the television show, I'd say 80% of it is, genuinely affecting emotional and top-notch storytelling.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest shows of all time. And now we're at the end. We've reached the end. How are you feeling?
I don't know. It's interesting because we've reached the end, but I also know we have like 5 movies.
We have 4 movies.
4 movies.
Only 4.
And I also know that Picard, they're not all great.
You know, we have Picard. Well, First Contact, I think, is great. I do love that one. Although I haven't watched the movies since I went through the series. So it's been about 7 years or so.
And don't worry, folks. Sean got the Blu-ray set for all the movies.
Don't worry. But I'd seen the movies. I knew I liked the movies.
Well, I'm really excited. I'm a little sad. That's kind of how I get when it's a show that I really love that has a series finale. I'm like, oh, I get a little nervous. I'm like, how's it going to end? Because we all have favorite shows that had crappy endings. Like, that just finales and pilots
bad ending really, really colors the rest of the series.
It's what sticks in your brain, right? It's like, pilots are much more forgiving because you're like, okay, they're finding their footing. They have to introduce all these characters. Pilots are tough for like even the best of writers. But finales, man, and you have this fan base, like Star Trek fans, like that's a rough crap. Like, how do you please all these people?
Yeah.
You know, like Star Wars, Star Trek, all those big things, Marvel. I mean, I'm not sure. I hear that it's regarded well, which is great.
Yes.
Like, people seem to love it. So I hope I will too. But I'm kind of nervous and it's a little bittersweet. I'm like, oh, it's done. Now what do we watch? Yeah, and I know we have the movies, but I know.
And we have Deep Space Nine. And I'm in season 3 of Deep Space Nine, which again, the first couple seasons are kind of not
it's
great.
It's kind of like we're repeating history because you're powering through the crappy episodes and I'm just popping in when they're good. And I'm like, oh, this is an amazing show. And I've already seen a few episodes with you that I thought were fantastic episodes.
Yeah.
So I think I might just hop on with
to keep it going.
Keep it going. Because I kind of have a general idea and now you're hitting the point where
it's starting,
like you
to
said,
get
it's getting a
good,
more overarching story as well, where it's not as episodic.
Yeah. So I and I'm looking forward to getting through Deep Space Nine because a lot of people really love that. But you know, it's funny about the finale of Next Generation. My mom taped it. Like, that's really? Like, again, just to talk about the culture. My mom, who is wonderful, but is not into sci-fi. You know, she doesn't care about the stuff, but she loved Star Trek and she taped the finale. And for the longest time, this is the only episode I had regular access to. So I've probably seen the finale of TNG more times than any other Star Trek episode.
That's so funny.
It's just funny. Like, it was a tape she'd made. So I was the most familiar with the finale. Yeah, I don't want to say too much about it. Do you want to take any guesses as to what might happen or to what it might be about?
I have no clue. Honestly, I'm just like, how do you wrap this up?
Do you think there are any characters that might make an appearance who aren't necessarily regulars, or like what it might be focused around?
I'm so at a loss. I know. I really have no idea.
What would be satisfying for you? Like, when you say I want to watch the Next Generation finale, what are you hoping for?
I'm so overwhelmed. Yeah. I don't know. I would love a little more resolution to Picard and Crusher.
That's another great episode.
That's another great episode.
I think that's a season 7 when they are...
Yes, where they like...
They can hear each other's thoughts. Yeah.
And you realize that like they genuinely love each other, but they can't figure out how to make it work, right?
So you want some resolution there.
I would like a little more than what we got, which is basically like, I love you too. Oh,
but we can't be together.
And why? I don't know. Like, I'm like, okay, I would like a little more there. I'm still a little thrown off by it, just continuing with show romances. I really thought that Riker would end up with Troy, but obviously there's a new romance between Worf and Troy.
Yes,
which it's
not necessarily a romance, but like the start of
slept together. So
that was her imagination.
Oh crap!
Or not her imagination, but it was in her.
Yeah. You're right.
Hallucination.
But that was real.
Yes, I think they have. Yeah.
Yeah, but they obviously are starting something, and I don't think we've actually seen Worf tell Riker. There was like an attempt, and he felt awkward, and it was kind of comedic, and then he walked off, and then we haven't seen anything about it since. So I'm like, are they going to call back? Like, I thought maybe they might do a time jump, but since there's so many movies, I feel like they're not going to. But I don't know.
So you think there might be time stuff involved?
There might be some time stuff. Like, I mean, man, if Tasha Yar shows up again, I will be such a happy camper, but I don't know if she will.
Right.
Or her, what is it? She also plays one of her relatives.
Yeah, it's
right?
Like a Romulan.
Yeah.
She has a...
I mean, honestly, I wish I had a good answer for this because I've been thinking about it. And
you just want conclusions to the romances and time wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Yeah, and I just want, I guess, I just want everyone to feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
I just want world peace. But I mean, I hope they don't like kill people off. Right. I'd be so sad, but it's a freaking series finale. Yeah. So who knows? So I guess I don't want more things than what I want. I don't know what I'm saying. It's just like, it's such a big show. I almost don't want, let's just forget it. Let's not watch it.
We're not going to watch it. This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to us talk about how much we love Star Trek. All right. Well, those are good guesses.
Well, I can't ask you because you've seen it.
I've seen it. As I've explained, I had a videotape of this taped live off of television that I watched over and over. So,
well, I have a random story.
Okay.
That I just thought of. Going back to your question about my first introduction to TNG, I actually have to call back further. And you know this story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When we worked together.
Yes, we worked together. That's how we met each other.
Many moons ago. Yep. Yes. This is how we met. We were friendly. We were not dating at this point. I thought you were a little nerdy.
Yes.
And you thought I was
just a little nerdy.
A little too girly, I guess.
Yeah.
So we had some ideas about each other. We worked on different teams and we had to email each other a lot. Just checking in on updates on certain, you know, things. And you emailed me and you asked for me to do something work related. I can't remember. And at the end of it, you said, make it so. And I flew off the freaking handle.
Not to me. You told me this later. Like,
I told you this and later.
Because you told me when we started dating.
No, I flew off the handle to like one of my colleagues. Like, no, five of my colleagues. Right. I was like, this guy is such a jerk. Look at this email. And everyone was like, oh my God, he talked to you like that? Like, make it so? I had no idea it was from Star Trek.
Well, you held that against me. And then when we started dating, you were like, why would you say make it so to me? And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you, like in the emails, you used to just be like, make it so.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, that's Star Trek.
I had no idea. Yes. I just thought you were just a jerk.
I'm looking at it because we're recording near our refrigerator, just in case you want to feel like you're a part of our home. There is a Make It So magnet.
Yeah, we have a Make It So fridge. Mug.
It's become a part of our regular relationship story. Yes, but yeah, that's a great Star Trek story.
I really like. I cannot believe I even dated you after that. You're lucky because I had. I mean, for like 6 months, I was like, this guy is such a jerk.
Yeah.
Like I hate him.
Yeah. It all worked out.
And now we're married.
Thanks, Patrick.
We're having a baby Sir in a Patrick, few days.
Sir Patrick, thank you. Yes. Like,
things did okay, you know? So I guess technically, you still introduced me to TNG.
But yes. It was a couple years before that. Not the best introduction.
It was like circa 2012.
Right. And now here we are at the end.
Yeah.
Nine years later.
I derailed that, but I had to get that story.
No, that's
in
a good story. Well, all right. Well, are you ready?
No, but let's do it.
No, but we gotta do it. It's all for the fans. Yep. It's all for the fans. All right, we will go watch the finale of Star Trek: The Next Generation, and we will be back.
Now available to own on video cassette.
And we're back. Sarah, how do you feel? You finished The Next Generation.
That was so wonderful.
I also want to point out that one thing our audience did miss was about how long? Sobbing. Like, just sobbing for maybe 10 or so minutes following the ending. Which, to be fair, I teared up. I tear up every time. It's such a great ending when they all play the card game together.
It's funny because I made it through the whole double episode. I was like, oh, I'm not going to cry. And then, you know.
There's some good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
Really good stuff.
All the best Star Trek stuff is character stuff. And this episode, somehow, they get everything you want from great TNG. You get like crazy, wacky, big concept of traveling through time. You get the destruction of all humanity, and only Captain Picard can stop it.
Yep.
And you get all the crew. And then what's really cool is just the way they kind of find a way to answer all your questions using the jumping through time angle. Like you get to find out what happened with Riker and Worf. And Troy, like what happened with Crusher and Picard? Did anything happen? And what happens to all the other players? You get to see Data kind of taking on a little bit more humanity. I don't know if you noticed, but in the future, he's a bit more loose and
he's
displaying some level of emotions.
Well,
and
he has a home, you know, like he has a home with 100 cats. Like,
yes,
he's
so
happy.
So many cats. He's in Sir Isaac Newton's old home on Cambridge. So everything is good to go. But that's what I remember being so struck by, even as a kid, just like this episode has everything. Like it acknowledges the past. You get Denise Crosby is back as Tasha Yar. Ugh. So you get some really sweet moments there. You get Chief O'Brien back. And in the past, you get those old uniforms with the lines on the shoulders.
I feel like the first 90 seconds, I was like, oh my God, I called it. I got all what I wanted.
I'd
that was so funny.
I'd seen it a few years ago, even though I've watched this episode so many times as a kid. I'd forgotten that they pay off all the romance stuff.
They do. And
like,
they did
all the stuff that you mentioned,
way.
I realized, I was like, oh yeah, they do. Even the Troy and Worf stuff, which for some reason I remembered that kind of being more ambiguous, but it was pretty concretely stated in this episode, like what happens and then what she dies in the future and that causes a rift between Worf and Riker. But this is I didn't want to say too much in the first part, even though we've had this conversation many, many times as we've watched Star Trek. I think this is one of the best series finales out there.
I agree. I agree.
Like unquestionably. Yeah. It's so satisfying on every level. It's shocking to me. So it was written by, I think it was Ronald D. Moore and Brandon Braga, or is it Brandon? Brannon Braga. They co-wrote it. And what's shocking to me is they were also co-writing Generations, the film, at the same time. That part of the reason people feel that... I don't think season 7 takes a dip in quality. Like, some people are like, oh, season 7 is a huge dip. I don't think so. I think there are definitely some episodes towards the end that are kind of mediocre. But for the most part, there are also some of the best episodes, like Lower Decks.
That was really good.
It was a great episode. And then some of the others we referenced. But, you know, especially this finale, what's nice is like, just regardless of all the other stuff, like they nailed the finale. Like it's like, even if like some of the other episodes in this season weren't as great, I think As long as the finale is great, then it's
fine. I still
think
overall it was a great season. There were definitely a little more like duds or whatever, but it didn't, we didn't get like 10 in a row. So it never really felt like, you always bounce back when you had kind of a slower episode
and
or
you,
something.
And you kind of, you want it to keep going, but then you realize each season was 26 episodes and you can definitely, get the sense of season 7 that they were stretching themselves. I watched a documentary where they joke about like, oh, everyone has a family member now. Every family member has to show up in an episode. So I get that. But it's insane to me that they were writing the movie, which I think the movie, we'll watch it eventually. I don't know if we'll do a Missing Frames on it. Sorry, everybody. But like when we watch it, I think you'll see the movie suffers versus this. And I'm glad. I prefer that this is great and that first movie is like fine.
If I'm going to choose a scenario, it's the one that we have.
I agree.
Like, I want that nice little bow on all these seasons, not just a film. So,
Another thing that's really cool is something they discussed when they were coming up with ideas for the finale is Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five was brought up a lot, which is, you know, Billy Pilgrim has come unstuck in time. The idea of going, jumping through different timelines, which I didn't realize. Slaughterhouse-Five is one of my favorite books, but I watched that documentary in the writer's room with all the writers, including Brandon Braga and Ronald D. Moore, but they mentioned Slaughterhouse-Five was a big influence on the finale, which is a really cool little tidbit. But no, I love it so much because it gives me everything I love about Star Trek. There's like the inner light is an episode I love, but it's because it's so focused on like, oh, it's very domestic. It's a domesticated episode. Like it's Picard living out another life while the Enterprise crew tries to figure out what's wrong with him in real life. But it's like there aren't any like, isn't a lot of space stuff. There isn't a lot of like crazy excitement. So it's a great episode. But like for me, the reason this episode works so well is because you're getting the excitement. You're getting the crew playing off each other, which I think is so crucial to Star Trek. That's another thing missing from Inner Light is Picard is separated from everybody living his own story. Here, even though Picard is the focal point, you're getting so many great character beats between him and the crew members. So you have him in the past and interacting with everybody and them being very confused by his seemingly erratic behavior. You have him with the crew as we know and love them. Mm-hmm. And then you have him in the future where you get really awesome, really brilliantly done teases of like, where have they gone? Like, what are they doing? What are the relationships like in the future? Like, did they last? Who did Picard marry? Oh, he and Crusher got married and then they got divorced or not even divorced, separated because she's kept his name. So things like that. But it's such a brilliant, like everything you want from a great Star Trek episode, but also like what all great finales should do, like giving you all the things you love encapsulated in one moment. Like it's just, it's really well done, but it's also very, it's clean. It's straightforward. It's not like convoluted and it keeps like its heart is firmly at the center of everything. But what are the things that surprised you? Like, what are the things you didn't expect to see?
I didn't expect to see Q, but I was really pleasantly surprised that we got another Q episode. Cause I think in the first part, I was even like, I love the Q episode. So it's so funny. All the things that I was like,
oh, and the first they're directly referencing the first episode.
Yeah. So I feel like they nailed the full circle thing, you know, where it's like, they're calling all the way back to, you know, season one, episode one.
Again, it's crazy. So brilliant.
It's so brilliant.
All right. So you didn't expect Q in there. Q makes an appearance. What else did you not expect, or what other things were you, was there anything you were hoping would happen that didn't happen?
No, I mean, because I really wanted like the romance stuff to kind of be addressed. It was, I wanted Tasha Yar, she appeared. Like all the things that I really wanted, I felt like I got, even though I didn't really know what I wanted, if that makes sense. You could just shut her in there, see what happens, but then she might freak out.
No, that's probably what's gonna happen. I don't know what to do. It's not, I mean, you can hear it, but it might not be noticeable unless you're paying attention. Let's just record.
Okay.
Yeah, all that stuff. You know, it would have been nice to get, I don't know how you do it, but getting Wesley back would have been nice, like getting Will Wheaton in there.
Yeah.
The problem is you can't have him in the, you know, So they pick up Dr. Crusher and Wesley when they go to Farpoint to get Riker.
Yeah.
So when they, I love that they have the beardless Riker cameo using footage from the first season.
I was wondering how they were going to do that. Yeah. So I'm like,
I couldn't remember if he shaved, but I think he's also, Jonathan Frakes definitely gained some weight since the first season. So I think maybe it just wouldn't have worked.
He was
maybe Frakes is like, I'm not shaving my beard. Never, ever again.
And I've always thought he didn't have a beard because my only...
Yeah, your initial reaction to his... You were like, oh, he looks so weird with a beard after watching the first season, which is like the literal opposite of what everyone on the planet thinks.
So. Oh, I will say something that didn't happen that I think I knew, but I would have loved to see Whoopi Goldberg, Guinan back.
That's true.
But I know her career was just crazy and good for her.
And not to spoil anything, but she does make an appearance in the movies.
That makes me happy because she was one of my favorite characters and I was really bummed that she just disappeared the last
season.
She's
the only
seasons.
One who doesn't really get a... What's crazy about the last season is they kind of resolve, for instance, Wesley's story when they set it up is like, oh, the Traveler and Wesley's special, which they never resolved because they were like, this is stupid.
They didn't care.
But then they gave him kind of a throwaway episode in season 7.
Yes.
That's it's not a great episode, but it's nice that they were like, oh, let's resolve this. Same with Alexander, Worf's son, gets a little episode.
Yep.
And I feel like there are a couple others that are, or Ensign Roe. It's a conclusive
Troy's mom.
Yeah. They give a lot of conclusions. So it is unfortunate. And I'm sure it was just scheduling difficulties.
She was such a big star.
By this point, she'd done Sister Act. And
Sister Act 2 maybe was happening. I mean, that happened pretty fast.
I think so. So it's just, it would have been nice to get her. But it's nice that they got her back for the movie. Honestly, maybe this is another tangent, but I'm kind of bummed about the decision to end the series to move into the movies.
Me too.
I think it was seven seasons with 26 episodes, 26 hours of television is a lot. And you could tell in season 7 they were starting to burn out. So maybe it's best that this is what they did. But there is a part of me that is kind of
four movies is also that's a lot of movies.
Yeah. And
I mean,
that was the justification, I think. Wasn't like, oh, we need to cancel it because ratings are down or the quality of the show has dropped significantly.
Yeah.
The justification was they need to be in movies now. That's where the money is. And that's what kind of bums me out. It's could they have brought in I don't know. Seven seasons is a lot of seasons. And typically once you hit this point, that's when you start to show diminishing returns.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was for the best. Yeah. I guess the disappointment isn't that the movies, it wasn't great, now the movies are even better. It was the movies are fine, but they were never as great as the best episodes the series had to offer.
Well, it's nice that, and I haven't seen the films, but it's nice that you could obviously end this here and never watch a single movie and be satisfied.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. I'm glad they weren't like, oh, we're doing movies so we can cliffhang or not resolve certain things and deal with it later.
Yes,
I'm really glad they end capped this. I think it was a really smart decision, especially knowing that the movies are hit or miss, right?
Yes.
So I'm grateful for that. So we'll go into the movies at some point, and I feel like it'll be okay because I have this show, right?
Agreed. And I think it helps ease the pain of Nemesis, which is another grand finale. And I don't remember it being good. I know some people flat out hate that movie. I haven't seen it since 2002, I think.
Is that the one Jonathan Frakes directed?
No. Jonathan Frakes directed First Contact and Insurrection. And First Contact is great. Insurrection, not so much.
Okay.
But there is a great book by Michael Piller, who was the head writer, the showrunner, essentially, for this and Deep Space Nine for a few seasons. And there's a great book about the writing process and his process writing Star Trek Insurrection. It's fascinating insight. And he just seems like a really cool dude. That's neither here nor there. But what were some of your favorite moments from the finale?
Oh, gosh. I'm so overwhelmed. I mean, obviously, I hate to start at the end, but I mean, the poker.
Yeah, the poker game is really
and then Picard
wonderful.
Comes, and then Troy's like, you were always welcome. And that's when my waterworks started. I was like, oh, no, I can't do this. And then it pans out. So to start there, that's the best moment, I think, of the whole show, which is great. It's the last frame. How cool is that? I don't know. You go and let me think.
I
because I'm still in overwhelmed mode where I'm just so emotional and like just.
I love every single thing about it. Yeah. Like I love the jumping through time. I love when he starts to get a handle and starts giving him giving orders based on information he's learned from each timeline. And I love when the crew stops bicker, because especially in the future they're all like he's old and crazy, and when they stop that and they start working together to it's like yay, the crew's all back, like when Worf joins up with them. I do love the moment they imply there was a falling out between Riker and Worf because of Troy that was never resolved, so I really love the moment when they kind of acknowledge that, and then as they're heading to the bridge he says, we could use your help, we could use your help, Worf. Then at the end, they have that really brief, like, so things that happen, like when he's like, I wonder why he told us about what happens in the future. Maybe so that things that happen won't happen. And Worf says, agreed. Like, very.
Yeah, and they share that look.
Simple like, stuff. But, like, the resolution. Subtext of it is so perfect and it's so wonderfully played by the actors. So I love all the time stuff. Like, I just love.
It was handled so well.
The concept is just a brilliant, brilliant concept and a great way to kind of pay tribute to the whole show. While also giving us a glimpse into like, well, where do they go from here? We don't have to ask because we know. Now, because of shows like Picard, we know even more. I don't know. I know people are kind of mixed on that show. So I don't know if that's something we want to know. But that's what I love. I mean, every single character moment, all those little beats, whenever they're all getting together. I love Data's cats, that he has all the cats in his house. It's a finale that there's not a single thing wrong with it for me. Like it all works.
I liked the speech he gave to the crew.
Yes.
In the past when he was.
That gets me a bit choked up too.
Yeah, that got me. That punched me in the gut a little. I was like, oh, that was good. That was definitely a favorite moment. But I also love.
Q has always been pesky, and you know he like. Loves Picard, but he's never like it's always been from a place of like annoying little brother.
What did Data call him? His pet?
Or yeah, it's like, it's like a master, a relationship like a master between between a master and a pet. I love that you kind of realize that Q was put like basically the Q continuum that he's a part of. They wanted to cause this issue, and Q individually gives Picard the tools he needs to save the universe. So I love the payoff for Q where it's like, oh, Q, you helped me. And you realize Q does love these guys. He does care about Picard. And I love the moment where he says, you're like something about like unlocking the secrets of the universe. And Picard's like, what is there left to know? And he leans close to whisper and he's just like, you'll have to find out. That's a great, great moment.
Yeah.
Those are
it's an
episode full of great moments, honestly.
I love that part. I wrote it down when he said that Picard's purpose is to chart the unknown possibilities of existence. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's good.
Yeah. Like, well, that's what Star Trek has always been about. But it's I mean, it's about possibility, but more importantly to me, when I realized what really makes Star Trek special, like explosions and excitement, that's fun. But what makes Star Trek special is this group of people overcoming differences to work together to achieve a greater good.
Yeah.
That's what Star Trek has always been about. And it's demonstrated in this episode. We see them put aside petty differences to work together to save the universe. But it's about just these friendships, this family, and seeing them all work together and seeing their love for each other. And that's great. It's heartbreaking that it's over, but it's such a wonderful. It's just a wonderful tribute to this. I know a lot of people really love Deep Space Nine. Some people say that's the best Star Trek, but it's very hard. I'm just getting into the good stuff with Deep Space Nine, so maybe I'll change my mind. It's very hard for me to like think that this could be topped. This feels too perfect.
Yeah.
And I think Deep Space Nine gets more complex and darker, but there's a part of me that, like, for the same reasons I love, like, Superman versus Batman, like, just the pureness of this, the desire to do good and to do the right thing, I think that's, like, it appeals to me so much, like, seeing people fight to do what's right. But What other things? What other standout moments? What other? What other?
I want to watch it again.
Yeah,
I'm just like I just feel so emotional right now. I'm like I'm just basking in the feelings. It's just so good. I really loved Crusher. Future Crusher.
Yeah, I love
Crusher.
That she's a captain.
I love that she's a captain.
She's also
she's
a Captain Picard.
Badass. Yeah. Oh, that moment where they say Captain Picard and they both look up. I thought that was very clever. Geordi's wonderful.
Yeah,
he's my boy.
Him.
I love him.
Pretty blue eyes.
He finally got married and had some kids, although who knows that's what's going to happen. But
I'm so curious. It's going to be very interesting to watch the movies with you and see how they work now that I am such a fan of the series. Because I think before I watched Next Generation, like I said in the pre-show, I was kind of like, oh, the movies are the way to go. I don't really, like, TV is, it's never as good as the movies. But Star Trek has proved me wrong. Like, I would have, like, sung the praises of the movies, and I still do. But I think Star Trek works better as a series. I think it's designed to do that, because you're talking about building relationships over a course of years and all these different ideas that, like, in film, you can only do one concept like every few years, but with Star Trek on television, it's like every year you get 26 different concepts, and some aren't great, but most of them are amazing. I'm curious to go back and watch the movies and see if maybe, like, I love First Contact, but I wonder, in light of like loving the series so much now, if it'll be like, oh, but it's just not as good. There are lots of people who are like very against the movies, but are kind of like, yeah, but it's not the TV show. And I wonder if I can still appreciate them as like kind of standalone movies versus the series.
Well, that and the TV show Picard. Now I'm really curious.
I'm curious too,
and
I've
been able to kind of steer clear. Like, I've been trying to because we've been watching TNG. I'm like, I don't really want to know the future stuff. I mean, I know a little from trailer, but, and then some, of course, some cast spoiler, like people that join the cast or, you know, which is fine, but I don't really know much. So I'm really curious. And to be honest, I never had a huge desire to watch Picard.
No, I remember when we were talking, like when it first aired, because I had seen Next Generation by that point, and you're like, oh, should we watch it? And I was just like, frankly, there's no way it's better than Next Generation, and I'd rather you just watch that.
At the end of the day, I wanted to finish TNG before I watched Picard because it's going to influence, like, you'll know what happens, right?
Yeah.
For the
most
part.
And I think it spoils certain things from other series too. Which is fine with me.
I'm kind of fine with staying in like this 80s, 90s TV bubble for a while.
Yeah.
And then
we can just go all the way back to the original series and start over and just start from there.
Well, we have plenty of content between, there's like four franchises, right?
There's
Enterprise, Voyager, TNG, original,
Deep Space Nine, so which we're watching now.
Am I missing something?
And then Discovery.
Discovery, Picard.
Right now, Picard.
Lower Decks? Isn't there an animated one?
I just feel like it's so hard because...
That's eight.
This is the argument I posit about television in general. I think you can posit to like how many different series of Star Trek there are.
Yeah.
I am sure, and based on what I've heard from other people, the quality just can't maintain itself. You've told the stories you can tell in that universe.
Yeah.
And I really loved the J.J. Abrams movie, the first one, not Into Darkness so much, but I thought Star Trek Beyond was really fun and heartfelt. And so I think the movies are great and they feel like a good place for Star Trek right now, but like, I would like to watch Star Trek Discovery. I just don't know that it's much good. And I'm happy to be watching through Deep Space Nine right now, because that seems to be consensus on that seems to be pretty strongly in its favor. Like, it's a pretty great show. And I've seen at least a couple episodes that are like, okay, hopefully this will
keep up. Discovery finds its footing in its second season, which sounds familiar. But yeah, I'm just not in a rush. I guess it also, it's just another thing to subscribe to.
I know.
And we have so many streaming services and CBS All Access or Paramount, whatever it is now.
It's really
nice
to go back. Like Star Trek Next Generation in particular, this is a time where there wasn't much competition. And
It was just like the simpler times of TV.
It wasn't about maintaining a franchise. It was just about great storytelling. Yeah. And so at a certain point, something like, you know, we haven't seen Star Trek Discovery. This episode isn't about Star Trek Discovery, but I feel like it's a show kind of like designed to be like, all right, well, we have a franchise and we need people to subscribe to CBS All Access or Paramount Plus or whatever the hell it is now. And it's not like, you know, Next Generation. They had some freedom after, you know, season two to tell some great stories and to really delve into interesting ideas. And once you explore those ideas, it's like, how many more times can you explore them?
Right. And it's impressive, even with the episodes that were kind of more misses than hits, with TNG, it's impressive how many individual storylines they were able to come up with.
Well, what's shocking to me, when we talk about like, oh, there are some bad episodes for sure, but like, I would say maybe 4 or 5 out of 26 episodes
That's a lot.
Range from mediocre to bad. Once you hit season 3.
Well, considering most stuff is now like anywhere from 8 to 13 episodes,
you get,
right?
If you're lucky if you get a good 8-episode season.
Yeah.
Like, and every episode is great. So the fact that, like,
they
I
were hitting, like, 75%.
Season 3 through 7, I would say 75 to 80% of the episodes are fantastic.
Yeah, they had a great team of writers.
Who have all gone on to do other great things.
Well, it's funny because all the time travel stuff, obviously Outlander is time travel. And, like, you see seeds. And, I mean, there's source material there, obviously, from the books. But he's just, I could fangirl over him any day. Like, I think he's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I've pretty much liked everything he's done. So it's so cool that I was such a big fan of him. But I had no idea that he started on TNG. And you see all these seeds, and it's like such a powerful writer at a young age too.
Yeah.
I mean, just crazy.
Yeah. I really can't think of anything that disappoints me about that. I think this is a pretty perfect.
The only things that I was saying is like, oh, I wish Guinan showed up, but these aren't like,
they don't break anything.
Like, it's just Sarah being a fan of that character. It's not like she needed to.
Yeah.
I feel like they fulfilled everything I wanted. Even the stuff I didn't know I wanted, I got, and it was great.
So this is interesting. I was reading through to see kind of like some production notes, and apparently they thought that somebody else would write the finale, so they were kind of like shocked when they were told to write the finale in addition to Generations.
Yeah.
Since it took them a month to write, they often confused aspects of the two. They knew that they wanted Q to feature prominently in the episode to bookend with the pilot. Apparently Locutus of Borg was supposed to be back, but they were going to have another timeline with Locutus, but Michael Pillar, the showrunner, was like, that's one too many timelines. Let's just keep it.
I feel like they made the better a good choice to not include that.
Yeah. There's also a segment where the crew had to steal the Enterprise from a Starfleet museum, which is similar to Star Trek 3. There's a scene where they have to steal the Enterprise or sequence. And then the final scene when they all play poker together, that was the last thing they shot.
Oh.
So I'm sure there were many tears. Emotions, which you can see. But also because they were going into the movies, I'm sure there was a sense of excitement.
See you
too.
Later.
Like, yeah, we're going up. But
did they go straight into the films?
Yeah, so the finale aired May 23rd, 1994, and Generations, I'm pretty sure, was released that year. Let me double check.
These were all theatrical, right?
Yes, okay. They were all theatrically released. Theatrically. November. So,
they were filming. They went right into filming.
Six months, half a year.
They must have.
Yeah, I think they went
like straight into it. So, did they use the same sets and stuff?
How does that work?
That's a fast turnaround.
Production.
I wonder if they were filming both at the same time. They could have had overlap. That would get confusing.
Filming commenced on March 28th, 1994. So they'd probably wrap. I mean, they'd wrap the show by that point. So
probably several months before it aired.
They started filming this a couple months before season 7 ended.
Oh, but so they didn't have a break.
They basically felt like they were going right into another series, essentially. Yeah. But then there are a couple years between Generations and First Contact. And I'm excited to watch the movies again. But I'm very curious to see what you think.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to expect. Yeah. Except I know which ones are like, you know, regarded as good and which ones are...
I'm really excited to watch Generations and First Contact. I remember loving Generations as a kid, and I don't think it's good, but I don't think it's like some people hate that movie, and I don't think it's terrible. I just think it makes some bad decisions.
Like, did you see any in theaters?
I saw Generations in theaters.
Oh, cool.
And I saw Nemesis in theaters. I saw the first one and the last one in theaters. And I didn't see First Contact or Insurrection in theaters. But First Contact, I think, is unquestionably the best. It just has the best moments. It features the Borg. Like, it's exciting stuff.
Love
so
Borg
it'll
stuff.
Be fun to go through those. What are we? What else? Is that it?
I just loved it.
I'm so
great.
Glad. How do we rank the series overall?
I think I gotta give it a 5.
Yeah.
Or like a top, whatever.
I would give, I mean, the series overall a 5. And then this.
I can give different ratings to individual seasons,
yes,
but
for
overall,
sure.
I
would say the overall series is a
really
5.
Strong.
If you're ranking, or not ranking, sure. but rating each
yeah.
season, it's different. But
yeah.
overall, it's definitely, I think it's
so
one of the best television shows ever.
And I can't wait to, I mean, this is my first time going through it. I can tell it's not going to be my last.
Yeah.
I can't wait to kind of go through life and watch it at different stages of my life.
We'll be able to introduce this to our son.
I know.
Which will be great.
Ugh, he's going to be like, this is stupid.
Mom and dad are so nerdy. Why do they watch this stuff?
He's probably not going to appreciate it for a minute.
Oh, we rated the series before we rated the episode.
Oh, yeah.
But
well,
how
the
many,
episode is.
Yeah, it's a 5. I got to come up with my rating. I got to come up with my rating
okay,
system.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, Data, how many of Data's cats would you give it?
Oh.
It gets 5 Data's cats.
5 spots.
5 time spots. What was it, warp bubbles? 5 all of the 5s. It's great.
I'm gonna give it 5 spots.
5 spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spot does return for Generations.
Shut up.
Yes.
Thank
There's
God.
Some good stuff in the movies. And again, now having being more familiar with the series,
yeah.
I'm sure there are things I'm gonna pick up in the movies that I never would have thought of.
It sounds like they're
just watching them in isolation.
They call back to stuff.
They
a
do.
Lot, which
they
is
reference
really cool.
things. I've read about cameos that I never would have known about that now I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see that happen.
That's awesome.
But that's it. So that's Star Trek The Next Generation.
That was awesome.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
I know.
I expected you to. It's just too, it's so good. It's a perfect finale.
I feel like we started this journey in
it's 2000. It's been 4 years.
Yeah.
When
did I watch the like yesterday's Enterprise and stuff?
Well, you watched that in 2015 or okay. 2016, I want to say. 2016 maybe.
It's been like a 6-year journey.
It's been a
for
long
me.
Time, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost, so originally there were 5-year missions for
so I,
Star Trek
I've completed
and now
my
I don't
year
know
mission.
If that's the case anymore. But yeah.
That was really good. I'm really looking forward to when I rewatch it, seeing how I feel about seasons 1 and 2 again. I'm
yeah,
sure I'll still kind of roll my eyes or whatever.
They're
but
bad. I'm not going to defend them, but I think.
But now that
you
know where they end up,
yes,
sometimes
you have more fondness and you're more. It's more interesting to yeah. see.
You give more grace to these
yes.
characters, I think. Sometimes
so I completely agree.
It'll be fun to rewatch in a couple years or
yeah.
something.
Well, thank you for going on this wonderful
Thanks
journey
for
through
introducing-
the cosmos with me, and thank you everybody yeah. for listening. If you would like to chat further about Star Trek, as I'm sure you do, you can find me on Twitter at @YeShondorman. You can also find me on Letterboxd, just Shondorman there. And yeah, thank you again for listening, and we will see you at the movies and on TV sometimes.